So I prayed with desire. It was a big need. And I think when we pray with desire, you know, then God can really go to work. And sometimes it just might take some time, but I really desired it because I kept going on for it. You know, it says, you know, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. And we know also that translation could be keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. But I kept on going on and on and on and on, a bit like Kim goes on and on at me to put the lid on the toothpaste, you know, does your head in. So I probably done God's head in by asking this same old question, but it was with true passion, true desire, because I really didn't know what God had for me, if he had anything for me, was I anything before him? You know, what was there something I could do? I was willing to do whatever God wanted me to do. So when I heard that word, I received it gladly. I took it to my heart. I ate it. Just like Jeremiah, you know, he found God's word and he ate that word and it became to him the joy and rejoicing of his heart. So for the next 2 years, that word became the joy and rejoicing of my heart, you know, and to the point that it come to, you know, God giving me a dream. I found out Sandgate was coming again for the second time. I was going to meet him on the Sunday. I had this amazing dream from God, where he spoke to me and showed me different scenes of my life and what he was going to do. And I woke up knowing that this day was the day I was going to go full time for God, give up my work and never go back to a circular job again, but to live unto God. And then so we traveled up to Oxford, heard the sharing he done. The sharing was God is looking for full time ministers, those that would live fully unto God. So I never forget that sharing. And for me, it was for me. You know, I know it was for everyone, but actually it was for me because I was the one that received it and run with it. And that's another thing that comes in. Not only must we receive God's words gladly, but we must act upon it. We must do what we can do, apply where we can apply. And as you know, there's a lot of sharings that we do here that God gives to us, which you can practically apply and do. And that's why you're getting results, because if you've received the words and you do them, you get results. Yeah. Like speaking in tongues. We encourage that much, you know, speak in tongues much. And then so you do it and you get the benefits, you get the blessings. We encourage people and show them the benefits of God, why they're doing what they're doing. You know, speaking by the Spirit, let God give you the words, you know. God gave Jesus the words. He gave Paul the words. He gave Timothy the words. He gave Silas the words. He gave Philip the words and all the rest of the disciples and the new ones that were added to the church, the ones that got born again. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they gladly received the words and they were born again. They got baptized, every one of them. 3,000 souls were added to the church daily. Such as should be saved. They were made whole. These guys were made whole. They were ready to change lives. And that's where we got to be. Do you want to be made whole? You got to be ready to change your life. Or are you holding on to the old life? We can't hold on to the old life no longer, because we're not that person anymore. We're not the old us. We are the new us. We are the Christ in us. And so we got to let go of the old life. And some people like to hold on to some of their old nature. And we got to let it go. You got to reckon it dead, baby. You got to receive Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead and be willing to change from today. Be willing to move from the first time that you receive this wonderful truth that you can have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can receive the Spirit of the living God, you know. And not only that, but not only do we receive those wonderful words gladly, but we continue in that wonderful sound doctrine, which is heavenly words being spoken. Because we got to remember, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the book of Acts. They were just beginning to live it. All they had was the Old Testaments and everything concerning the prophecies of Jesus Christ, right? And that he was Messiah and that God had sent him. That's the things that they were preaching and teaching and convincing people of, that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was crucified, that he died, that he was hung on the tree, and that he died 3 days and three nights, and God raised him from the dead. And then he was seen of the disciples 40, 50 days, however long it was. And then he was taken up into heaven before their eyes and seated at the right hand side of God. And then so many days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit and were born again. And Peter stood up from being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Remember, he was full of fear before. And now he's standing up bold. He's born again, baby. He's got new life living in him. He's got the fire of God in his belly. And he stood up, these men and women are not drunk like you suppose, as it is written in the book of Joel. And then he quoted the book of Joel to them. And then, you know, he spoke so many other words, it says in Acts chapter 2. He spoke many other words, and with many other words, he convinced them and got them to change around. Men and brethren, what do we do? What do we do? We don't know what we're doing here. What do we do? And he said, repent, change direction. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Believe that God's raised him from the dead. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one. He was the Messiah. He was the chosen one. And you guys have crucified him. Now repent. And those that received his word gladly were born again. So there was 3,000 added to the church because these 3,000 received the words gladly. And then they continued in that apostles' doctrine. And they had fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They were like-minded. They weren't arguing. They weren't backbiting. They weren't pulling each other's hair out, were they? They were enjoying this new life, this new way of life, and this new connection with God. And the guys were speaking from the Spirit of God. The apostles were speaking by the Holy Spirit. And these guys were fellowshipping together. And God added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were one accord, unity and purpose. You've got to have unity if you want to commence, if you want to move forward. There's got to be that unity. Satan will try and sow discord amongst the brethren. He'll try and bring division. Well, we're not standing for division. We highlight it because we're walking by the Spirit. So we're going to see this stuff. It's going to stand out like a sore thumb. But we always walk in love, and we always want to do what God has shown us to do. So we receive the words gladly, and then we need to act upon that instruction of what's being spoken forth and what we're receiving to our heart. It says in James, you know, that we're to be meek and to receive God's word, not to be hearers only, deceiving our own self. For the most part of my walk, you know, not on every part, but for the most part of it, I was a hearer only. Oh, I know this, I know that, I got this knowledge, I got that knowledge, you know, but it didn't really propel me forward. So when I received this new word from God through Sangha, I received these words as the words of God, as it is in truth, and it was effective in me because I believed it produced results, and it still is producing results. Many seeds have been sown, many people have been healed. Many hearts have been turned to God just through that one stand, my stand. And many people through you have been turned to God. And you've spoken and sown many words. And God's word never returns void. It never returns empty. And our negative words don't return empty either. You know, we've got to be careful what we say. Say what you want, not what you see. God gave that to me in my kitchen outside there. And it's changed and revolutionized my life. I put it to action straight away. What do you mean, God? Well, you've been saying what you see with your physical eyes, what you feel. You've been confessing it, and that's why you keep reaping the same old stuff, Lawrence. You need to change what you're saying. We need to stop speaking negatively about our lives, about our situations, about our circumstances. It's a practice, and it comes with a decision. We decide, right, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to dwell on the negative emotion that's in my heart about my circumstances. I refuse to let it let me down or to get me down. I refuse it. I refuse to speak bad about my finances. I refuse to speak bad about my health. I refuse to speak bad about my relationships. I'm going to declare what I want, and God will inspire me to say the things that I want. He knows what I really want. And he puts his desires in my heart. And then we delight in God. You know, you delight in God in it, give you the desires of your heart. Those things will come into manifestation. We got to practice and move with God. We've got to step out on in faith with what we've been taught. So, like, honoring God with your substance. Someone messaged me today, I needed to step out with God. And it blessed me tremendously. Now they're acting on their faith. They're believing the message of honoring God. They are stepping out upon that faith as well so that they can get the results that God wants them to have. Not what Lawrence wants them to have, not what the minister wants them to have, but what God wants them to have. And that's what why we encourage these things. Like, you honor God, he's going to bless you. He's going to protect the fruit of your ground. He's going to multiply your seed sown. He's going to increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's going to cause all grace to abound towards you. You know, the just live by faith, not by sight. We don't go by what we got and what we see, but we use what we got and we put it into action for our own lives, for our own benefits. God wants you blessed. See, when you come onto this Zoom fellowship, these words should be hitting your heart if you're in a place to receive. Are you ready to receive the words gladly? Or you could have a heart of, well, it's him again. He's saying the same old thing, right? I'm saying what needs to be said. And if it needs to be said a million times, that's how many times it'll be said. I can remember, I think maybe for 2 years, Sandgate teaching on grace. Grace be to you. And I used to say to him, doesn't he know any other subject? And that's all he teaches is about grace. But he was right on. He was teaching the word of the Lord because people needed to understand about grace. Because everybody was doing things in their own strength. Everybody was doing things in their own effort, their knowledge, their wisdom, their associations, their connections. But they weren't doing it with their connection with God and giving God the glory by letting God give them the wisdom. They had to go and study their own wisdom. You don't have to study your own wisdom. God will give it to you. Nothing wrong if you want to go and look at stuff. If you want to get a bit of history and context to something, absolutely perfect to go and do a bit of a study if you want to do that. Nothing wrong. But really, how did Jesus live? Did he carry around all those scrolls? It wasn't available to the normal person. It was either in the temples or rich people had the scrolls. But Jesus didn't carry around all the books of the Old Testament, did he? No, he walked by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. No, Jesus always spoke what God wanted to speak. He always pleased the Father. He only done and spoke what the Father showed him to do and speak. And that's what we do. We follow that lifestyle. Jesus Christ healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers. Freely, you know, people have received, and freely we should give also, because we've received this good message. Listen, you've been entrusted with these words. God's entrusting you right now with the words that are being spoken to you. He's given you these words because he trusts that you're going to do them. He trusts that you'll receive them gladly. And the things you don't understand, you're not responsible for. But the things you do, you are. And you can go to God and ask him to open up your spiritual understanding, to give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not just knowledge. And so it's the spiritual wisdom and revelation that we need, that we need. We're going to move with every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you know. And we know the scriptures are important too, and God will have us go to them if we need to go to them. They settle all the arguments. The scriptures settle the arguments when we're not agreeing. And so God will have us go there if we need to go there. But if we're humble and meek, we won't need to go there. We just receive the words and act upon them. We're moved with it. And we're, you know, Satan will have you debating on everything. Right? Just like the Pharisees, they debated everything that was being done and said, and it hindered the work rather than make the work grow quicker, you know? And so people had to move under the cover of night and all these different things. Look at Nicodemus, great guy, really wanted to know, but he had to go secretly to see Jesus, didn't he? You know, he had to go and find him out privately, but he desired. And that's what we want. We want people that are going to seek us out. People that are hungry, people that have come to you under the cover of darkness to go and get their answers from you, that they got to put an effort in to come and see you, to come and hear what you've got to say, to speak the words of life, to people. And that's what God gives us. He gives us words of life. See, the word of God, or the word from God, is quick, powerful, and sharp. It's living energy. It cuts right through the negatives, right through the marrow and the bones, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And what God's been showing me lately, guys, you know, from this, we had a great trip. It was absolutely wonderful. Sakina's done a great job. And, you know, and I've seen there's lots of conflicts and different situations with different personalities and different things going on. But it was great because it's training ground. We're on training ground here. Like, we've all got paradigms, right? And so now we can reckon, oh, yeah, I didn't realize I was a little bit like that. Okay, I need to change that. And what do? We work hard at changing. No, we go to God. Father, help me change this paradigm about me. And then so God is the one that highlights for us what we need to see so that we can see the booby traps in our lives, the things that keep blowing us up when we take the wrong step. And then he shows us to have the right heart and the right action. And the thing that had been hitting my heart is I was on Ethel's Zoom fellowship last night sharing. And God just reminded me of this simple thing. Come back to basics. Come back to the simplicity of, you know, what God is saying to us. And for me, the basics is when I really started to get focused in with God. And then God showed me this. I'll read it to you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. He's not contradicting himself. He's just saying what you think is going to take a long time, when it comes upon you, be really quick. So he said, I will stand upon my watch. And so the watchtower is where someone would stand to watch to see if there's anyone coming against the city, right? And then if anyone was coming, they would give sound to the people and let people know that the enemy was approaching. So God was showing me with this, you know, we need to be stand upon our watchtower, the watchtower of our minds. We watch if there's an enemy coming in, trying to get in there. And we say what we want. We cast down those imaginations that are trying to attack our heart and mind. See, the thoughts that come can only attack your heart when you dwell upon them. So when you get a negative thought, when you dwell upon them, it's got into your heart. You know, it's incubating in there. It's conceived in the heart and can grow and produce negative things or positive things. All depends what it is. But on the negative side, you got to cast those imaginations down from your watchtower of your mind. When those arrows come, when those negatives kind of come to trouble you and to wrestle you and to stir you up with all the different various emotions that these thoughts can bring to us. So stand upon your watchtower, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? So don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, know how he works. Now, we're not focusing on Satan here, we're just protecting our minds, and we're not stupid. Right? Like when you're driving, you're not going to drive on the wrong side of the road because you know you're going to get smashed up by a big lorry coming the opposite direction. So you're going to stay in your lane. And that's what we need to do. We need to stay in the lane that God's put us in so that we can move at full capacity, that we can move forward fast. And at the same time, we're watching, we're guarding, we're listening to that voice of God. We're listening to that still small voice in our heart. And God will show us what we need to do. And then God says to us, you know, what you desire, what you want, the things that I put in your heart, the dreams, the visions, just like Joseph had dreams and visions, right? Write it down. Make it plain upon tape. Write on a piece of paper. Make it plain so you don't forget it. And when you read it, run to do it. It's like a little kick up the bum to help you to remember to go and do those things. It's not that you're going by it. It's just that you've written it down. You're establishing it. You know, this is my goal. This is my desire. This is what I'm going to achieve. This is what God's going to do for me. This is what's already been done. And then you can go upon it. And then you can keep yourself fresh. You can keep yourself hot. And I done that when I first reconnected to Sandgate, and it changed my life. These are things that God gave me, Lawrence John Tor, personally to do. And as I done them, I got great results, and I started to encourage it. Say what you want, not what you see. Confession. That's what God showed me. My whole life changed. My finances changed. Right? And then writing the things down, the direction I wanted to go, that I believe God was working in my heart, wrote it down. How much do you want to give? How much do you want to receive? I wrote it down. It come to pass. It will come to pass. And it happened really quick, right? So the vision is eyes. You know, we need to have our eyes open. You need to have a purpose. You need to have a goal. You need to be aimed at something. You need to run for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a prize. You need to run towards that prize. What is the prize? What is the goal? Are you just drifting through life? Are you just going to go from fellowship to fellowship? Or do you want to be led by God? Because God's got great things for everyone on it. All of you are amazing. I'm not just blowing up your bum. You know, all of you are amazing. You got the Spirit of the living God in you. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. God has already ordered your steps in his word, so there's no sin can be have dominion or authority over you. He set you free. He set you up on high. He set you on the right-hand side of God. He's given you all authority. You just got to be careful what you listen to. You know, because obviously gossip is a thing that has been running through this kind of fellowship for a little while previously. And it can hold you up. It can slow you down. And it can get you flatlined where you're not doing nothing, where you're doubting, where doubts come in. Am I moving the right way? Is this the right direction? Is this the right fellowship? Listen, you are connected in the right place. God's connected you here, right? For you to grow and for you to receive. And, you know, I was sharing to Kim, these get-togethers are really great, but it's not, we're not in it to make friends, right? Even though we will make friends. Don't get me wrong what I'm saying now. Listen up, pay attention, have that spiritual ear open. We're not here to make friends. Right, we're here to do what God wants us to do first and foremost. Now we will form relationships and we will make friends, but our life isn't hinged upon that friendship or relationship. Unless we're giving God's word of encouragement in that friendship and relationship. Right? We're like people and people are like us, but they may want to go a different direction and God's got you where you are. Right? It's going to take you off. So that's why God has to be first. He has to be the first priority. I'm not making friends with anyone. Now I got to speak to everyone. And I love everyone. And I am friends with everyone. But not to the point where I'm taken off with what God's given me and showing me personally to do and how to minister to the body of Christ that's around me and that come to me and are connected to me. I hold the line because I'm responsible to God, not you. I'm responsible to God to do this right. I'm responsible to God to speak rightly as he works in me and to minister to you. It's up to you what you do with what I say. I'm not responsible for that, which is a great thing. Thank God I'm not, you know, but I am responsible to speak the truth in love and to be very clear, not to be a boss, not to be a lord. That definitely don't want to do that. Now, sometimes when you're given instructions, it can sound like someone's trying to lord it over you. Or being hard, but it's not. You just got to just speak the truth in love. And it's up to you what you do with it. You know, and at the end of the day, my desire is to see everyone grow, everyone prosper, everyone be successful. As a minister, I want to be successful in what I'm doing. Only God can make me successful because I haven't got the credentials in the world, but I have got the spiritual credentials because God's given you the spiritual credentials as well. So you can all move. You're not limited to me because you're connected to me. Let me say, well, Lawrence is the boss. He's my leader. I can't go. You can move powerfully with God. You don't have to rely on me at all. It's just a connection for the direction. That's what it is. A connection for the direction. You know, just use a bit of play on words here, and they have good play on words. You're connected because God's got a direction, specific direction for you personally. And the words that you're going to hear, if you receive them, is going to help you get there, right? And so thank God for Mr. Sandgate Baines, and because he's spoken great words into my life. He's spoken very honestly, very directly, very truthfully, very lovingly, very encouragingly. He's given me doctrine, reproof, and correction. I've had it all from him, right? But it's always done with great wisdom, great love, and great encouragement. And sometimes it's simply, he says to me, well, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know about you. And that kicks me up the ass. Or I know what I need to do. So he can tell me in certain ways, you know. And it's proven that he gets results. It's proven. He hasn't got to prove anything to anyone, but his track record. See, that's the other thing Sandgate taught me, was about people's track records. What is their track record? You can measure where someone's going to go, unless they really have a change of heart. Or you can measure where they're going to go if they're walking by the Spirit, you know? You can have a little insight into it. So there's everything tells a story. Everything tells a story. That's why I learned that from writing down who calls me every day, who I speak to, you know, how much the abundant sharing was, who honored God in May, who honored God in June, who honored God in July, who honored God in August. I can track it all back, and it's all in my accounts, in my PayPal, in my bank, but it's also written down by hand from me every time. I got 3 lots of accounts and probably more, but I can, when I look back at it, it builds my faith because I've seen, listen to what God has done. And it gives me great encouragement when I might be feeling down. Maybe the abundant sharing's dropped down and I look back, well, no, God's done that, you know, from nothing. I knew no one. And look what he's done in my life. Look where I've been. Look how I've traveled. Look what I've seen. Look at the power of God I've seen manifested. My life counts for something here, you know. I'm doing what I'm doing for a purpose. I don't know the full purpose, but God does, and I'm going to carry on doing what I believe God wants me to do, and that is to minister to whoever comes on here, whoever stays connected. You're all free to do exactly what you want, by the way. And don't think that, you know, I'm judging you. See, we don't connect, you don't connect. But I don't mess around either. If you don't want to connect, you don't have to. You know, off you go. Don't come back. I want to work with people that are serious, that want to see great things happen. And I believe every one of you do. You just got to watch who's around you. You've got to watch your circle and make sure your circle's strong and they're speaking the same thing. That there's no division amongst us, you know. It's in the scriptures. So this is where the scriptures come in, because we can look and see how the first century church moved. We can look even further back and see how things happened when the prophets and the kings were going on, all the deception and all the divisions that happened in there. Then we can see it through the book of Acts, you know, how things were divided up. And why does that happen? Because Satan, he looks for weakness in people. So he wants to work in your weakness. You know, so God wants us to make our weaknesses the strong points. And this is why iron sharpeneth iron, and the counting of a friend sharpeneth his friends. We want to stay hot. We want to stay strong. Not religious, but serious. All right, we're moving God's word. Why are you doing what you're doing? I asked the people in South Carolina, why did you come? And, you know, that was a God question, because I just got up to share and it comes really bounding to my heart and mind to get people to answer that for themselves. Not to me. You don't have to tell me, oh, Lawrence, this is why I came. No, ask yourself why you come, you know. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you come? Did you come for the friendship, the beer, the food, just the fellowship and get together? Or did you come for the words of God, the direction, the encouragement? Because that's how the things are going to grow. When we do the next one, get together, you know, I really would like it to be really focused on what we're doing with God. And yes, we'll have friendships. Yes, we can go to the beach. Yes, we can go to shagging, as Judy calls it, the dance. You know, she loved the dance, and we had some good fun with that. That word shagging, because it means different things, doesn't it? But it's a dance, basically, that they have in Myrtle Beach. We can do all those things, but, like, the priority really has to be God, not making all the... I mean, it shouldn't be divided up. The group shouldn't have been divided up at all. And that's what happens when there's different agendas. So, like, I want to keep everything moving together. You know, I'll read it to you. This is how it really should be wherever we go and whatever we're doing and whatever fellowship we may be fellowshipping in as well. And it's just very much this simple way. I'll read it to you right now. This is for our learning, right? This is written down there in the book of Acts, and it's absolutely beautiful. And it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And it says, and with many other words did he, Peter, testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. So it's all right having friends, but save yourself. Keep yourself on the right track. Keep yourself moving with God. Keep yourself hot. And it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen, we need another day of Pentecost. We need another day where the man that was sat at the beautiful gate temple and 5,000 were added to the church. We need a couple of those days to get some jump start in here amongst ourselves. We need some increase. We need new, fresh people. All of us can have a laborer. All of us can have one. And we should have one. That's what we've been saved, not just to worship God and walk with him and have a relationship, but to preach the word, to reconcile men and women back to God. That's why we're also born again. Because now we're doing the work, and we can do the work that Jesus Christ done and greater, because he's gone to the Father. Anyway, and it says, then they that gladly received his word were born, baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. Look at the word steadfastly. Look it up yourself. In the apostles' doctrine. It didn't say the Old Testament. It says the apostles' doctrine, what they were sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he was the Messiah, right? And other things they may have shared as well. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That word fellowship is koinonia, full sharing together. There was nothing hidden. There were no, secret friends that were more friendly than somebody else. Everyone was equal, right? And breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I'm just bringing things back to how they really should be. You know? We've got favorite people that we like, but really it shouldn't be so. Not amongst believers. We're different. We are different from the world. And it says, and fear or respect came upon every soul. And because of that, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, the leaders there, the ones that were given the encouragement. They was able to minister healing. They were able to raise people from the dead. Amen. They were able to cast out devils, and they were able to cleanse the lepers. They were able to restore relationships. And all that believed were together, not divided. What do you see today? You see division everywhere, you know? And Satan's trying to do that amongst our fellowships, but it's not going to happen, because if we speak the truth and give the right encouragement, then anyone with a spiritual heart and mind will see it and will want to cleave to that, because that's which is good, and that's what's going to produce fruit, right? And all they that believed were together and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. So there was equality amongst everyone, right, in this movement of God that they began here on the day of Pentecost, and many days after the day of Pentecost, and years actually. And they continually, daily, with one accord, unity and purpose, in the temple. That's where they met up, and then breaking bread from house to house. They met up in the temple, went to everyone's house, right? We're going to go to Carl Morton's today, and tomorrow we're going to go over to Fans. Then we're going to jump a train and go to France and be with Frank, and then we're going to go to Eugene. Then we're going to go to Kingswood, where Becca Jancy lives, and Live Green, where Danny lives. Then we're going to come to Chuckle Perch, where Lawrence and Kim live. And then we're going to go over to Virginia, where Judy lives. Then we're going to go over to Atlanta, where Mary lives, and where Kathy lives in North Carolina. So we're going to go to all these different places. We're going to go from house to house and go to North Carolina, where Kathy Clark lives. And Bambi, Pennsylvania, Bethlehem, you know. That's where we're going, guys. And we're going to go to Texas, where Dylan lives. I don't want to miss anyone out. and I said, Judy, yes, Virginia. And so they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with unthankfulness. They didn't like that taste of food over there. No, it says with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. They were worshipping God in the spirit. that, if you look at that word praising, they're worshipping God and having favor with all the people. They was having favor with everyone, just like we see in Nepal and India. These guys are getting on with everyone, believers, unbelievers. There's joy, there's happiness, there's love, there's healing. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We can't add anything, but God can. All we got to do is our little part, you know, with the heart, with the love, with the encouragement, get rid of our own agendas, set our eyes upon God, look only to Him, be led by the Spirit. You know, we're saying what God says, not what we see. We're renewing our minds. We're not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and what is that acceptable, perfect will of God. As you can see, I'm a very serious person when it comes to doing what we're doing. And I don't say I have everything right, but I know my heart is right. And I know that God is doing things amongst us all. And if you receive these words gladly, your life will change even bigger. And it'll happen for those that follow this way. You do it, if you want to keep to the old way, what you were taught previously, it won't happen. But if you move this way with the Spirit of God, it will happen. That's it. End of story. That's how it really, really is. And I'm just being honest.